read, the scripture that I read, this title, the title that has been wrestling in my spirit for a little while, the title is that it is worth the wait. It is worth the wait. What I have come to realize in this life, that life is filled with waiting. Anybody besides? I just need a few witnesses just to kind of know I'm in the building, to know that I'm on your road today, that life is full of waiting. If everyone will really examine your life, your daily movement, your interactions, the things that you do, you will find and agree that you have been waiting, that you are waiting, or that you will have to wait. That's what I believe. I believe that with all my heart. There are no exemptions to waiting. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you know. I don't care what your address is. I don't care who you got in your Rolodex. I don't care who anybody is in your life. You are going to have to wait. On any given day, there are going to be plenty of waits in your life. Matter of fact, let's walk down through some weights, if you don't mind, if you really want to examine the weight. Think about it. Early in the morning, you got to wait for the bathroom. You got to wait for the water to get hot. You got to wait at the stop sign. You got to wait in traffic. You got to wait at the traffic light. You got to wait in the drop-off line at school. You got to wait for your morning coffee to brew. You got to wait. The kids got to wait at the bus stop. The teachers got to wait in the classroom. You got to wait in the bank line. Wait in the grocery line. Wait at the DMV. You got to wait on the phone to talk to somebody live in person. You got to wait on the phone to make a doctor's appointment. Then when you get the doctor's appointment, you got to wait in the doctor's office. In the waiting room, you got to wait. You got to wait to see the doctor. Then you got to wait on the results. Then you got to wait for your prescription. Then you got to wait for the medicine to work. Wait. Mama, anybody roll yet? If I hadn't gotten to your roll, you got to wait for dinner. You got to wait for him to ask you out. You got to wait for her to say yes. You got to wait for 9 months for the baby. The father got to wait for the baby to say dad. The mama got to wait for the baby to say mama. Grandmama got to wait for the baby to say Gigi. Wait. Anybody understand what I'm talking about when I say to wait? You got to wait on your paycheck. You got to wait on your tax money. The Democrats are waiting for the Republicans. The Republicans are waiting for the Democrats. Some of us are waiting for Trump to get out of office. Wait. Anybody besides me know that you gotta wait. There are many waits in this life. Church folk are waiting for the service to be over. Notice I didn't say worship, but I said church folk are waiting for the service to be over. Why? So they can go somewhere else and wait. They're gonna wait for the tip-off, wait for the kickoff, wait for tea time, wait. Wait in the restaurant just for somebody to tell you, you got another 30-minute wait. Wait. You got to wait. You wait for your healing. Wait for your deliverance. Wait on God to move. You wait on happiness to come. You wait on sadness to leave. The dog got to wait. The cat got to wait. The animals at the zoo are waiting for some of y'all now just to come see them. Wait. And that's just to name a few. Anybody know that in this life you're going to have to sit down and wait sometime? There is just some things in life that you just cannot get around. It's a common denominator is that you're going to have to. Life is full of waiting. And in most, if not all, of these waiting moments, there is anticipation and a potential promise for something good to happen at the end of the wait. Normally, when we think about waiting, there's a promise. There is something good that we want to happen. Nobody sits around and waits for something bad to happen. Somebody's waiting for something good to happen. So we understand that on this wait, there's got to be a promise. There's got to be something on the other side that's going to be good for us in this wait. Well, the problem is that we do not want to wait on the promise. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We want the promise without the wait. We want to get to the glory and not go through the journey. We want you to give us what you got for us, and we don't want to get nothing to get to it. Wait. It's obvious in this life that we have had much practice in waiting. Think about it. You've had much practice in waiting. You do most of your life waiting on something. So I ponder the question is, why do we have so much problem waiting? Because we're impatient. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm impatient. Testifies tell the truth. You don't believe me, just ask my wife. You are just so impatient. You can't wait for me to move these shoes out of the floor. So I move them myself. Because I just can't wait. I just got to get it done right now. Anybody just, you know, you have something in your house going on and they won't, you just can't wait on it. You just go ahead and do it yourself sometimes. You just can't wait saying, I'm sorry. But tell somebody it's worth the wait. Oh, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. This particular story in the Bible. Ah, this is a good story. This is a good story. I'm trying to walk you through this story. This story is a good story. Any of y'all ever watched The Housewives of Atlanta? Oh, come on. Somebody here watched it. Go ahead and put your hand up. Basketball Wives. Love and Hip Hop. Come on. Oh, come on. Put your hand up. Come on. Tell the truth. Say the devil. I watch that show. You know, I watch those shows. I watch them. Yeah, don't judge me, okay? Remember, I'm still here. I'm a work in progress. Well, this story in the Bible, really, those shows ain't got nothing on this story in the Bible. So reality shows, you know, it happened in the scripture. And then they try to put it on TV and put their little twist to it. Ah, but there's something in the scripture here that will help you understand the dynamics of waiting. So let's walk through this timeline, if you will. I'm going to move quick now, so you got to grab hold quick. You got to go back home and read it, okay? So I just want you to just kind of understand what I'm talking about. All right, verse 12, chapter 12 in this particular passage. Abram is 75 years old. Sarah, or Share, I would like to say Share because it fits the personality later on. Share is 65 or 64, one of them. They didn't have it quite right. But look at what it says here. I'm going to read the scripture again. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, your father's home, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. When Abram was 75, he started out from Haran, as the Lord told him to do so. Abram took his wife, Share, his nephew, Lot, and the wealth and the slaves that they had acquired. So chapter 12, he sets off on this journey. God has given him a promise. And his promise was that once he wanted him to take all his people, leave, go, and I'm going to give you many descendants, and I'm going to give you a promised land. So he sets off onto this journey, taking his wife and his nephew and all of his servants and all of his money and his cattle. All right, chapter 13 says this. This is what it says in 13. 13, this is what happens in 13. I'm walking you all the way down. We got to go to 21, so you keep work with me. Abram and Lot, in chapter 13, because there was some fighting among them. I can't give you the whole story, but there was some fighting among their inner circle, the guys who they had that was tending to their sheep. They had many sheep, and Lot has also acquired a lot of wealth and acquired a lot of things. So the men out there that was on Lot's side and the ones that was on Abram's side, they started fighting among each other, and they couldn't understand why they were fighting. So what they decided to do, the Abram and Lot, they said, well, we're going to separate. All right, you go your way, Lot, and I'm going to take my guys, and I'm going to go this way. Keep in mind, still in chapter 13, there is no fulfillment of his promise. He's just still moving in another direction. Chapter 14. Abram had to be rescued. No, Abram had to rescue his nephew, Lot, because what happened in the 14th chapter is that there were some wars that was going on. There were four kings that started a war, and Lot was in a neighborhood called Sodom and Gomorrah, and there he was, that he had domiciled there for a little while. So what wound up happening when the kings came in, they conquered that Sodom and Gomorrah, and with that came Lot. So Abram hears about this. So what he does, because he's still family, you know, sometimes you got to go back and you got to look out for family. There's a lot of stuff in here, but he goes back, and what he does is he gathers his men up. He gathers his men up, and then they go and fight this army of four kings, and then they rescue Lot. All right, walk with me. But still, at the end of the 14, there is still no fulfillment of the promise. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. He's still, somebody say he's still waiting. Chapter 15. At this time, Abram is 85. You remember when he started, he said he was, I just want to make sure y'all awake. Now he is 85. So if he is 85, then that must mean that Sarai is 75 or 74, one of the two. So watch this right here. This. The promise still yet have not been fulfilled. But God comes to Abram in a vision. And Abram hears the Lord saying, he says that I am going to give you a great reward. Just remain faithful. Now, Abram heard this 10 years ago that God was going to give him something. So here he is now, 10 years later, and he still have not yet gotten the promise. So he just kind of hears this thing and say, well, God, how are you going to give me this promise that you promised me? I have no children. How am I going to be to have descendants, and I still don't have no children 10 years later? How? Because most of you know that in order for you to have descendants, you got to have some children. So 10 years later, here this man is 85 years old. Now think about that in today's time. And he ain't had no children. His wife is 75. Now they got a lot of stuff now, okay? You'll get that when you get home. But 85 and 75. And still no promise. But God reaffirms his promise. He hears him. In his vision, he sees him in the vision, and he hears him, and he says that the slave, Elijah, will not inherit your property, because at that time, the only descendants he has were those who was his slaves. And he said, well, no, they're not going to inherit your property. I am going to give you a son. He's still waiting. You walking with me? You got the picture in your head? You kind of see what's going on some 10 years later? Just to put a footnote here, that sometimes you got to realize that it's going to take a little time. Now, most of us ain't going to wait 2 minutes, 10 minutes, more or less 10 years for God to do something that he said that he was going to do. God, you told me you was going to do this now. I trust you at your word. But here I am now, some 10 years later, and you ain't done nothing what you said. Only thing you did is just brought me further down this highway. Tell somebody, when you don't see him, trust his voice. He didn't see him. He just heard his voice. All right, let's go to 16. 16 says this. Now, here's where the writers began to twist this up a little bit. Sarai, remember? Sarai is 75. This is what I like to call the compromise. Sarai is tired of waiting, and she has lost hope. Now, she had walked with this man for 10 years. Through all of this, and she know that there was a promise given to him. I'm sure he shared it with her that the Lord said he was going to give him a son. But here she is, and the verse says, this is what it says in the scripture. It says, Abram's wife, Sarai, had not borne him any children. But she had an Egyptian slave woman named Hagar. Hagar. All right, let's watch it. And so she says to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Why don't you sleep with my slave? Perhaps she can have a child for me. Tell somebody, tell them, don't do it. Oh, don't do it. Oh, that sounds like a setup to me. Don't that sound like a setup? Huh? That's a setup for a mess up. I don't know how many, come on, I don't know, come on, I don't know how many women today in this, they're going to tell their husband, okay, now I know I can't have no children for you, but I got Mary Jo over here in the house that's keeping the house clean every day. Won't you, how many, come on, anybody in the house beside, oh, come on, I know you, anybody besides me know that it won't happen in my house. I don't know about your house, but you are not going to be able to tell me I got Mary Jo. Oh, no, 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 no. Tell somebody it's a setup, it's a setup, it's a setup. Oh, it's a setup. Don't y'all say nothing. It's a setup. It's a setup. It's a setup. Desperation. Desperation begins to set in. And watch what happens in this description. Abram agrees. Don't say nothing. Abram agrees with Sarai. Sarai. He said, so what happens next is, I'm going to have to paint the picture for you. But Abram gets with Sarai, Hagar, and she became pregnant. Now, look at this right here. Now, this is another little lift. Now, go back and read this. I didn't come up with this. This is in the scripture. I promise you it is. When you read it, it's in there. Look at what's happening. It says, when she found out, Hagar, that she was pregnant, she became proud and despised Sarah. That's a sister move there. That's an Atlanta hype wop move right there. You hear what I'm trying to tell you? You give me permission to sleep with your husband, and then when I get pregnant and walk around here pregnant, then I'm going to boast up on you. I'm going to post up on you because you didn't have what it take to get him pregnant. So I'm walking around here. Can't you see her walking around the house, women herself like, oh, my goodness. And all of this just to say that I'm better than you. Don't let nobody in your house. You better be careful who you let in your house. You understand me? You better be careful who you let in your house because they will turn on you. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. That could have never happened this day in 2018 that nobody was going to let. And then she gets and walks around. Boasting, showing us. Yes, she was. I don't have to paint the picture. So look at what happens next. So this is the confusion. Now, remember now, when you decide not to wait on God, when you decide to put things into your own hand, you're going to make some bad decisions. There's some things that you are not going to be proud of after it happens. So you watch it. It's still waiting now. It's still waiting. So she need to have a child. You need to get the descendants. You know, understand? All this is about the promise. It's about the descendants. Who's going to? And she's, I need some people. I need some descendants. I need her to have me some descendants. Now, I don't know what that conversation was like when she went to ask her. Can you and I don't know what that conversation was. Look at the basketball. What that conversation was, I don't know. All right, so look at what happened. Look at. Then, watch what happens. Sarai, I'm calling her Sarai all the way. Sarai says to Abram, it's your fault. I didn't write it. I'm telling you, it's right in here. It's your fault that Hagar despised me. It's your fault. You ain't had no business with that woman anyway. Remember what she said? I asked you to go over there. You went over there. And now that you're over there, you done left something there. And now that you done left something there, now she acting crazy on me. It's your fault. Can't win for losing, brother. You hear what I'm telling you? You cannot win for losing. I gave her to you. And ever since she became pregnant, she despised me. That's what the word of God says. That's the consequences of bad decisions. Did you hear what I'm saying? She made a bad decision. And once the decision was made, she had to reap some repercussions for what she had allowed herself. Now, see, Satan's going to play tricks on you in your time of waiting. Do you understand that? He's going to make you do some things that you didn't think that you were capable of doing. But this scripture suggests to you that there are going to be some consequences for bad decisions. So now she's remorseful. She regrets, all because she was not willing to wait. And then she adds insults to injury. And this is what she says next. She said, "May the Lord judge which of us is right, you or me." Okay. May the Lord. You heard. Why in the world would you put the Lord on this at this point? Why would you even suggest that now may the Lord decide who is wrong, you or me? That doesn't make any sense. When you made some bad decision, don't you dare try to put the Lord in it and try to suggest that the Lord is the one that made you make this decision and help God be the judge now. You don't need God to be the judge. You messed up. She messed up. All of y'all wrong. How dare you put God in this? That's what we do sometimes. We mess up so bad that when we get to the mess up, the first person name you're going to call is God. How in the world are you going to call him when he didn't tell you to go over there? It's right here in the book. How dare we make some of the mistakes that we made, and then we try to ask God for help. Now, again, God is a good God, and God looks out for us, and he'll do everything that we have. But sometimes God is going to have to let you sit in your mess, baby. Because let me tell you, sometimes you're going to have to just to walk through that valley in the shadows of death all by yourself. Yes, you will. Share. How dare you call the God. And then watch what happens. Watch now. Look at it. I'm telling you something over here. I'm sure. This 16th chapter is a powerful chapter. You read this thing when you get to the house. Look at what it says. It says, Abram answered. Very well. She is your slave and she is under your control. You do whatever you want to do with her. Now, ain't that like a joker? You don't let... That's a joker there. Now. That's not what I like to call him. But that's a joker there. I mean, look what it's telling you. It's in the scripture. Do whatever you want with her. Then Share treated Hagar so cruelly that the woman ran away. It's in the scripture. That's just like a bastard. Man, hey, look at, I can't win for losing. Look at, you asked me now, and I yielded myself, and then now I've yielded myself. Now she acting this way, and now it's my fault. Do what you want to do with her. Share now. This is the sister move on Share. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of you, girl, coming around here walking around like you think you got it going on in my house. That's what you're saying now. You got to do a sister move on this one. You understand? You know how y'all bob your head and all that. Say, when once he gave her permission, and say, you do whatever you want. Oh, that's what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting for you to tell me that I can tell her to get out of my house. So you know when she came home wishing and watching and saying that, oh, if she minds some baby milk, by the time she hit the door, guess who was at the door? Share was at the door. Said, honey, girl, I don't know what you think you coming in here for. You ain't finna mess up my happy home. You can take you and your baby in your stomach, and I don't care where y'all go, but y'all got to get. Oh, come on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Boy, you know what I'm talking about. That's a story. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I promise you, it's in the Bible. Well, she turned on her. She turned on her. She turned on her. Get your stuff and get out of my house. And she said, okay. And God said, baby, look here. Okay. I better get my stuff in. I couldn't imagine Abram. I wonder, did he leave the house? I wonder what he was doing, man, when she was packing. I don't know. Did he get her a ride? Did he even get the horses and the buggy and say, go ahead, hold it, take her down the road? What was he doing? Did he wave at her bye-bye? Count on the sly? Nobody knows. The scripture doesn't say what he did. All I know is that she had to go and she ran her away. Ah, his weakness in waiting has caused him to listen to the wrong voices. And many times we will listen to voices that we shouldn't listen to. when we are in our stage of waiting. So you got to let certain things be a lesson to you when you are in your waiting zone. Don't listen to the wrong people. Don't, because they're going to mess you up. They're going to cause you to do some things that you're going to soon regret. And let me tell you, life is full of many regrets, but there are some things that you cannot recover from. You understand? So make sure that when you are listening to folk and when you are letting folk give you advice, make sure that you evaluate what the outcome can be. Ask God to kind of show you some things in the midst of this thing. So God, I know if I try this at this point in time, what might be the outcome from it? She didn't have any idea that this woman was going to turn on her. None at all. And I'm sure Abram didn't have any idea his wife was going to turn on him as well. They thought they were doing a good thing, but they were not doing a good thing. Fast on, chapter 17. We coming to the end. Chapter 17, at this stage, Abram is 99 years old. 99. Sarai is 90. 25 years later. Now, there was 10 years between 85 and now. 15 years, and they still ain't got the promise. Still ain't got his son. And here he is, a 99-year-old man. Still waiting. Now, listen to what God, and God got a sense of humor. God says to Abram in this chapter, he said, here you go. I will make my covenant with you and give you many descendants. I promise that you will be the ancestor of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. You must no longer call Sarai, your wife Sarai, from now on. You got to call her Sarah. You just flip the name. I will bless her and I will give you a son by her. Now, this is one of these moments. I got a little hashtag I use sometimes when somebody sends me something crazy. I'll send them a little picture with a little kid looking crazy like, really? I mean, now, come on, God. Now, I mean, okay, now here I am, 99 years old. Okay, most of us know. Okay. If we don't know, 85 wasn't enough for you to know, but now we're 99. 99. What's wrong with Furman? 99. 99 years old. I can hear him saying, God, I ain't got no juice, and she definitely ain't got no eggs. I mean, having this conversation with God, I can just see it now. I'm telling you right now, I see it just as plain as day. I can't even make a baby, and then you're gonna change my name on top of it at the same. So now I ain't Abram no more. I've been answering to this name for 100 years almost, and now you're getting ready to change my name. You're changing my wife's name. Sometimes God's gonna have to change your identity for you to get your blessing. I want to put that footnote there because sometimes you got to change something. God's going to have to change something that you've been answering. Some of us have been answering to the wrong thing, to the wrong name. But see, God understands what he had to do in this scenario. So God said, I'm going to have to change it. I'm going to change your name too. But God said that I made you a promise. Watch what he said. He said, I made you a promise. You didn't always do as I asked you, Abraham, but you were faithful. You and Sarah messed up many times, but you were faithful. You questioned me a few times while you were waiting, but you were faithful. He said, I made you a promise. You doubted me sometimes, but I made you a promise. I know you had to wait some time when you didn't feel like waiting, but I made you a promise. I know that you went some time when you didn't feel like going, but I made you a promise. You lean to your own understanding sometimes, but I made you a promise. God said he made a promise. It took 25 years, but he made a promise. And tell somebody, God will keep his promise. All you got to figure out how to do is wait for the promise to be fulfilled, not get in your own way. You were stuck in time, but I made you a promise. Your time is not my time. I made you a promise. I know you think you're 99 years old. I know your wife is 90 years old, but God, I made you a promise. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Don't you know God can move mountains in your life that you never moved, that you don't have the power to move? All you got to do is just wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. And I promise you that they that wait on him will renew their strength. And understand this dynamics in here, that Abraham and Sarah had to renew their strength because they waited on God. And God did not cut them off in the midst of their waiting. You got to understand that sometime, and you better pray and hope that God don't cut you off in the midst of your waiting, because you can't wait to get to the promise and you do something stupid and wind up in a place that you don't want to be, and your life is cut short because you did not want to wait. You got to wait on God and be patient in your waiting. The psalmist says that you can't hurry God. But you just got to wait on him. You have to trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you hurry. I said he may not come when you want him, but he's always. Clap those hands and tell him he's always. Clap those hands and tell him you're always. Stand on your feet and give God some glory. I'm finished. He's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.